Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Muddy Plough, joined in the studio by unique combo. I don't think you two have ever been in here with each other. Dave Horton and Graham Rodway. Anyway, great to have you. Niall O'Reilly's here as well from Paddy Power. I know we're all itching to get cracking with the Royal Ascot card tomorrow, but let's have a bit of a weekend review beforehand. We had action at York, Sandown, Chester, also in Shanty yesterday as well with the Prix de Dijon. Let's start off with York first off, and you know, there's any number of names we could pick out. Firmament, he finally won for his legions of followers. What a frustrating horse he's been. Gold Mount provided a shock in that Grand Cup. He looks a Melbourne Cup prospect. And we also had the likes of Recon Mission winning the sprint. Where do you want to start, Dave? Who really caught your eye at York?
Should we start with the Skybet race to the Ebor Grand Cup?
Yes.
A listed mile six race that Mekong should have won.
What happened with him?
That was unbelievable, wasn't it? I mean, they were saying afterwards that the ground had quickened up and he got warm beforehand, but it was exactly the same at Sandown behind DXB, where he should have probably finished a little bit closer, despite the fact that, OK, he was getting £3. But it was a rocket comeback run, wasn't it? And I don't know, was it Ryan Moore getting a bit of rush of blood to the head?
A bit keen?
He went very quick, I know that. I think his mind probably was on Austrian School, who was up front. Who finished just behind him at Sandown, of course. And there was no coincidence, let's put it this way, that Gold Mount was ridden cold and came through for an impressive win. A fascinating horse, Gold Mount, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember backing him when he was called Primitivo over here for Alan King.
Winner, yeah.
Yeah.
I must admit, I'm a big fan. My time out in Hong Kong, I've sort of seen a lot of him, and he is a really likeable horse. I think what's crucial to him is a fast pace. When he ran out in Dubai, I think he finished fourth in the Dubai Gold Cup, and they just went absolutely no pace, so that didn't suit him. Yeah. But I really fancy him for the Melbourne Cup. I think he could run a big one. What do you think, G-Rod?
Yeah, maybe he got yorked, eh? That's what they say, isn't it? He got yorked, you know? You just didn't.
Yeah, it's a red herring
well
track, isn't it?
At
yeah,
York
maybe.
For some reason. You know, I don't know. But the market certainly suggested he was going to win. I mean, they were all over him before.
You're back to Mekong now.
Mekong, yeah.
It was too bad to
it
be
was terrible, wasn't it?
He went too quick, there's no doubt in that. But whether it was the plan to go from the front this time, I don't know.
The winner won well, but I don't know. Just had a sort of smelly sort of feel to it, and I just wouldn't trust the
form. Yeah, I think that's fair. What price is he now for the Melbourne Cup? Gold Mount.
Gold Mount, we initially quoted 50, we're now into 33-1. I thought he was very impressive, as the lads were saying. I think Mekong just seemed to go very quick. The time figure for the race would back that up. Like you were saying, Gold Mount just needs a really strong pace. He obviously got that, but yeah, he's quite impressive.
Yeah, I'm certainly on his side. Dave, what else do we like the look of?
Recon Mission won the big sprint. I think probably in the lead up to Royal Ascot, it's the race that I look forward to most, you know, of the quieter races at the weekend, if we can call them that. Recon Mission, of course, had some pretty good sprint form, but Victory Day, the one to take out of it. I know they backed it into favourite. Haggis has got lots of these three-year-olds at the moment, which are very good up-and-coming projects for him, and they are proving to be well-handicapped. He had a winner at Doncaster as well on Sunday that I wrote up, I'll get to that, that had so much in hand, despite the fact it's a narrow margin. Victory Day didn't look that suited to York. Malheim had a favourite, drawn right on the wing, wasn't he? And first time blinkers, not sure what that was all about, but that's probably a race where the form looks all right. Cosmic Law in fourth is a decent benchmark.
Yeah, I think it looks solid enough form. G-Rod, I mean, York for me is a bit of a funny track. I can never seem to get it right, and a funny horse for a lot of people is this Firmament. Were you on him on Saturday?
Yeah, I backed him on Saturday.
I am one
of his followers. I did my money on him a couple of starts ago at the track when he was beaten by What's the Story.
He loves the gaff, doesn't he?
Oh, he loves it there.
Yeah.
I thought we were coming to win that day. What's the Story come really, really late and just run him down. But I thought that was a cracking performance and he was well handicapped. I don't know, obviously there are some horses that you think, oh, you know, he's a little bit, you know, is he putting it all in? I think a lot of those horses, they are putting it all in. They're just unlucky or, you know, don't quite drop for them. I think most horses are pretty genuine. It's just
I don't think you could call him ungenuine, could you?
No, it's just a case of they need to find their level. You know, and when they find their level and there's not a horse in there that's better handicapped, one race will drop their way. And you know, he had every chance on Saturday, if he wasn't going to go through with it, not to go and do so. But, you know, I mean, he stayed on really powerfully and really went away at the finish. And I mean, that proves there's absolutely nothing wrong with his attitude at all. And I'm not sure there ever has been. He's just been one of those horses who just keeps being unlucky to run into one or two better handicaps.
A couple of times he's been to Ascot, hasn't it? And everyone's been on him and he just gets like he's maybe getting there a little
what,
bit.
Too, for, you know, if right, you're an each way punter like me, I mean, he runs his race for you more often than not.
York are unbelievable, aren't they?
Yeah.
I wrote that race up that you're talking about. What's the story? Of course, goes for the Hunt Cup on Wednesday. That's a boost for him. Last time at the track. And I was looking at form figures. I just had to keep writing them down. And absolutely.
It's funny, though. Just a sort of general sort of punting point is that a lot of people tend to think that the whole idea of punting is to get a good price and then see the price crash and see the horse go off at shorter at SP, and then they think they've done their job, even if the horse wins or not. Whereas I tend to look at it differently. I tend to turn it around. I'm actually trying to find horses that are going to drift to a nice SP. Does this make any sense? So Firmament is the ideal sort of horse for me.
You don't often make a great deal of sense to me. Actually, no, this is.
Hang on, I want to hear you out here.
So you've got to go the other way. You see, this is what I'm trying to argue a lot of the time, because nowadays, if you're trying to nick a price with, I don't know, Paddy or someone like that, for example, at a big price, and they know as well as you do, I mean, any half-decent judge can sit there and go, that price is wrong. As soon as you see it, you just look at it and you go, that price is wrong. Now, you try and punt it with any firm, no matter anyone, and you know, if you do that enough times, they're not going to lay you too much cash on it at the price. And everyone moans about it. All punters are like, oh, this is so, you know, it's so hard to get on, they're restricting us. Well, the problem is you need to change the way that you bet. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to change the way I bet to make it so that I'm backing horses that are going to win that other people don't think are going to win. And because they don't think they're going to win, the price is going to be bigger at SP, and you can get pretty much whatever you like on SP or at Betfair SP, anything like that. And Firmament for me was the ideal sort of horse like that. Everyone just looked at that race and they went, well, Firmament, yeah, I mean, he's a good horse. He always runs his race, you know, but he always finds one or two too good. I'm not sure about his attitude. He's not trained by a, you know, superstar trainer or ridden by a superstar jockey. And as a result, I mean, I could have told you from an early stage that he was always going to go off a fairly decent price. I mean, this is going to be a theme throughout the week as well, and we'll probably talk about Royal Ascot as well. Is one of my aims now as a punter is to adapt my approach to go the other way, to find horses that are going to win that nobody else thinks are going to win,
that
are then, as a result, going to be returning at decent prices. In a way, finding the horses that aren't that sexy, but have still got loads of ability.
Nicely put together. I like the sound of that. I understand what you mean.
Does it make sense?
On board with that?
Yeah. of course it does. Is what punting's all about, isn't it? Absolutely. We cannot, you know, this is one of the weeks coming up where I will smash a couple of short ones. Absolutely. I am one of those
That's
punters that will go head down, because I think that it's literally buying money, because this is the week where the cream tends to rise.
Yeah.
However, of course, on a Saturday like that, had Firmament been away since that York run as well? Did he go to Epsom?
Yeah, he ran poorly at Epsom.
That's exactly the sort of horse you want. You know he's going back. I think the sort of lesson from what, you know, you've said just there, G, is that come the Ebor meeting, look for horses that have got previous York form.
Yeah.
No matter what price they are, don't be afraid of taking a price there and mark them up slightly.
Well, better get back to this weekend's action. Sandown and Chester hosted really good cards. Curious won the Scurry. History Writer was really impressive, I thought, in a handicap at Sandown. We had New King and Netroos, both pretty nice winners on that card as well. G-Rod, I mean, what did you think of it? Did you back many winners at Sandown on Saturday?
No, I had one place, Alternative Fact, finished third.
Case in point, isn't it? Another horse that had absolutely everything in his favour, trained by Ed Dunlop, looks like he's lost the plot, so he goes up to a massive price.
He'd been beaten a couple of times, 40-odd lengths on his previous start.
But had RPRs in hundreds when he was a three-year-old.
Exactly, and had course form, and, you know, you take a chance on him at 20s. And he ran well, he finished
Looking
third.
Looking forward, do you think there's any sort of targets you'd have for horses that won?
Curious was very impressive when winning the Scurry, the first race. I mean, going a furlong and a half out, I thought that they were all going to come and get him.
Yeah.
But really stayed on well, Henry Candy's runner. And he says afterwards, must have five furlongs and soft ground. And the way he's stayed on in that sort of five furlongs, you thought, six furlongs would be ideal. But every time the horse has run over six furlongs,
she's
backed it at Newbury when she did the time before. And of course, it didn't have her being on Saturday. She ran really well at the course two runs back, didn't she, behind Leodis Dream?
I think she's pretty smart, you know. But I mean, she had a massive pull in the weights with Leodis Dream.
Just where do you go with a horse like that? Maybe somewhere in Ireland, something like that. There are some decent the Curra Stiff 5, something like that.
Probably not quite up to Group 1 class, but definitely able to pick up a few contests. Noel, what did you think of the action at Sandown and Chester? And we'll move on to Shanty in a little bit.
I thought Curious was impressive. Just that 5 furlongs at Sandown seems to be her bag. History Writer again got the job done.
Oh, he was so keen, wasn't he? And then just ran through horses like a knife through butter.
Yeah, he's a strange horse. He stuck his head down and did it well at the weekend. So yeah, the horse I kind of took out of the weekend was Raheen House in the York race one
week
ago.
Very well backed, yeah.
I'm just wondering what type of mark he'll be left on for the Ebor, because he'd be one to be very interesting for that race.
Okay, what price is he for that?
He's 12-1 with ourselves.
Fabulous.
Just 12-1, yeah. Wow. Yeah. I thought you said bigger.
Anyway, let's move on to the French action then. We had lots of sort of British interests and Irish interests. Azano won, Al Hilali won, Channel was the big winner at the Prix de Diane, obviously, and Vintager as well. What did we think first off of the Diane, Dave?
It was well back, the winner. I know that. Francois Graffard has had near misses in the race recently. Omerique, if you remember her, she's now over in the States with Chad Browns. She's pretty much
good filly,
I was beaten in the race. It was of
very
course,
messy. On
it was a short price favourite, wasn't there? Serafina, who everyone's hoping might be the next Zarkava. Fingers on the Arc buzzers, because you know we're looking for a 3-year-old filly now. Mm. Of course, in the Arc these days, the draw beater, the very good fillies can, you know, win from that draw. Lawrence, of course, last year outside stall, 5-time top-notch winner now, and before that. Trying to remember, who was the name of the Gosden filly, which Frankie gave an absolute master at Spanish?
I know the one you... Sorry, what was that?
Oh, Seville.
That's the one, yeah.
Thank God Niall's in front of the computer. Yeah, good man.
Hey, you doubted his knowledge. That just came off the top of his head.
Of course it did. Listen, I think that Com, the runner-up, is the key horse, because she finished second to Castle Lady, who goes for the Coronation Stakes, and I've backed at a fair price. I was loving the fact that I saw her run well. But as a bunch... didn't really leave me over now, mate.
Okay. I backed Etoile, and I was sort of cursing my money because all of them, a lot of them were in very similar colours, and I was trying to figure out which one I was on. But she finished a sort of luckless fourth, staying on G-Rod. Who was your money on?
I didn't see a heck of a lot of the French racing. I must say yesterday, I was working, I was doing live tips, so I was concentrating mainly on the British stuff.
We can forgive you
that. I did watch the French Oaks, and was a little bit disappointed with the favourite. But I was just saying, I mean, the draw is a plausible excuse there, and I was absolutely gutted to see Vintager win, because I've literally been following that also off a cliff, and I didn't back him yesterday. But I have very limited sort of, the only race I saw at Shanty was the big one.
Yeah, okay. Now we'll go back over to you. We've also, we had good racing on Sunday as well. The Cathedral Stakes at Salisbury, dead heat in that between Snazzy Jazzy and Archer's Dream. Anything to add?
Just Archer's Dream was a horse I was really kind of excited about seeing. I thought he ran quite well. Probably the ground potentially against him. I think he could go on to, she's a filly, could go on to at least contest group race in the future.
Yeah, okay, one for the notebooks there then. Unbeaten in 3 now, if you count that dead heat. We'll take a quick break now, but then we'll get back to looking at Royal Ascot's card on Tuesday.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now it's the week that everybody has been looking forward to. It's Royal Ascot Day 1. The first race is at 2:30. It's the Queen Anne Stakes Group 1 over the straight mile. Just run us through those runners, Niall.
So Lebrovito is our 7-2 favourite, Mustachery is 5-1, Barney Roy 6-1, Lawrence 6-1, Accidental Agent 8-1, Hazapour 9-1, Lord Glitter's 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
Thank you very much. Now Lebrovito, I mean, he won the Jersey, didn't he, a couple of years ago when trained by Andre Farb. But for me, he is obviously a classy horse, but his form just doesn't really entitle him to be as short as he is in an open race, Dave.
Shall we talk about, you know, what you historically need to hit in this race to win it? Last year, Accidental Agent, love him or loathe him, fluke or not, I'm in the camp, it definitely wasn't, having looked at his Lockins run as well.
That was a good run, wasn't it?
We gave him a 1-1-8. To put it into perspective, okay, Frankel, the best ever, 1-4-3. The average is around about 125, maybe a little bit lower in lesser years. Whatever you think about Accidental Agent, it sums up our mile division at the moment. We've not had the 3-year-olds coming through. maybe until this year. Hopefully that might change this year, but we need a star. There hasn't been one. Solo, of course, a couple of years ago. Then he, you know, unfortunately was injured. Last year it was a wide open race. It looks it again. So while we're starting off with an absolute cracker, it's a real tricky puzzle.
Mm. What do you think about the favourite?
I think that this is a classic example of what we were just talking about, a sort of sexy profile horse at the wrong price, really, Le Bravido. I mean, he's trained by Aidan O'Brien.
Doesn't make any sense to me that he's the price he is.
No, he's ridden
well,
by
it's
Ryan.
It's O'Brien, isn't it? And he's got track form, so...
Well, if you're backing him, I think you're backing him at favourite because he's trained by Aidan and he's done this sort of thing before. I mean, we've seen him, I think he did it with Star Spangled Banner and he did it with...
Harada-san.
Harada-san, yeah. He, like, he basically had a horse that sort of come from abroad and then he ran a sort of... I think Harada-san had run sort of a very sort of moderate sort of race, first time for him. Certainly Star Spangled Banner ran it, I think York got beat. And then suddenly they make this massive jump from that run to the Royal Ascot run where they improve out of all recognition. And don't get me wrong, Le Bravido might well do that. There's every chance that he will. And he does have the back form, having won the Jersey when he was trained in France. But the problem is the price, isn't it? I mean, if we were sitting here looking at Le Bravido at 16s, 20s, which for me is kind of where his sort of price should be from a form perspective, then, you know, I'd be saying, well, I'd take a chance on him at that
it's
price.
Harsh too, Rob.
You know, but I mean, he's 9-2 favourite, mainly because he's trained by the sexy trainer, Aidan, and he's ridden by Ryan, who everyone loves. And I just think it's a classic
Who's
example
your selection,
of the price.
Then?
So going on to sort of a horse that is unsexy, but undoubtedly the best form in the race is Mustachery, who absolutely hacked up in the lockings. I don't understand why everyone's crabbing it. I mean, I watched the race back about four times, and he travels like the best horse in the race. He tracks through the leader, and he puts the race to bed with a smart turn of foot, and he wins by a couple of lengths easy. Now, the reason this horse doesn't capture the imagination, I think, is because he's a six-year-old gelding. And he's ridden by Jim Crowley rather than Ryan.
And his previous form, though, Jim, isn't it? I mean, he had a run going.
Took a big step forward this year, hasn't he?
But he had the prep run as well, though. So yeah, he was beaten on that, you know. So,
but the previous run was a hell of a run, wasn't it? I mean,
it has worked out.
Wasn't it like
well.
Zabil Prince won the race? He's gone on to win Group One
in France.
In France, he was trying to give away £5 to that horse. I think the second was Forest Ranger, who came out and won the Huxley Stakes at Chester. You know, Elikam was fourth, who I think is favourite for the last race at Royal Ascot tomorrow. And Mustachery was trying to give him all £5. And I was there that day and I went round the paddock and I can tell you what, Mustachery was fat as a pig. I mean, he wasn't even fit and he was trying to give him all £5. And he's finished in amongst a bunch of Group 2 and Group 1 horses trying to give him £5 when he weren't even close to peak fitness. He comes out, he massively improves on the run at Newbury next time with an easy victory. He reminds me of all these stout improvers. Do you remember a horse called Ulysses?
Yeah.
Trained by Stout about three or four seasons ago. I mean, he wasn't that good, was he? He got beaten the Derby, got beaten everything. All of a sudden, he got to about five.
Talk to about him.
And he suddenly turned into like a real top class.
Judmont
won the Eclipse, he won the Judmont.
He got beaten by Chain of Daisies at Windsor when I was there.
Absolutely.
On a baking day.
Anyway, we digress. But Dave, I know you're a big fan of Barney Roy.
I am. And you mentioned Ulysses, who's got that. He's got form with him. You know, that Eclipse run is the best form on offer here. He's the only horse that can go near to a 1-2-5. I'm almost certain of that. Mustachery is the other one. My problem with Mustachery is that he had the run. And I think that if you're on Accidental Agent, even if you're on Le Bravido, while I'm not quite as harsh as G-Rod on it, I think if you are back in the favourite, it's not just that. You're talking about what Stout did with Mustachery in the lockings. O'Brien has probably had one race in mind all season. And he is a genius. Mm-hmm. If you watch his comeback in Ireland, he wasn't off a yard and he stayed on. And last time, of course, because stamina is an issue for the Fav, they're going to have to ride him cold. The interesting thing in this race as well is the draw. They're all sort of over that side, aren't they? So we could be seeing in the first race, unusually for Ascot, the action more towards the far side.
Okay, that's an interesting point. We'll let Niall get a word in edgeways. Who do you fancy, Niall?
I was sort of between two here. And I take Dave's point on Barney Roy. He is the one that could run to a pretty high mark here, and I wouldn't be not keen on him if you get me. But the two I've backed are Matterhorn and Accidental Agent, and at the prices, I'd probably prefer to back Matterhorn and put him up. I just kind of like the horse at a decent Bettingham all-weather finals day. I was just blown away by that performance. Now, you can say Wizzy Hicken didn't show up, but the clock kind of backed up the visual, if you get me. It was very impressive in that regards. He then went to Chester on very soft ground, and he was second to Forest Ranger. Now, Forest Ranger was just in front of Mustachery. So on a line through him, he doesn't have a huge amount to find, and he's 25-1 or so. He was obviously beaten by Regal Reality the last day, but he just travelled into it. I'm not really sure 10 furlongs is his proper trip. I thought dropping back to a mile, on a stiff mile at Ascot, would really suit. And yeah, just at the prices, I think he's worth an each way bet.
Okay, if I was going to have a bet in the race, we talk about forgiving horses, I'd give my old pal Lord Glitters a go. Great Ascot record. I think he could obviously forgive his Lockings run. His run out in Dubai was top class, and he's an old favourite of mine. I think
second
he
last year.
Yeah, I think he should have won the Sussex Stakes last year as well. He's so unlucky in that. So sticking with the Ascot form. But anyway, we'll move on to the 305, which is the Coventry Stakes. No Visionarian here. Crucial absentee. We've still got Arizona as the strong favourite, though. Can you see him coming in much more in price now?
No, personally, I see him going the other way. At the moment, okay. He's 9-4 with ourselves. We're actually paying 4 place on this race with 16 runners. Threat is 3-1, Gilsman 5-1, Fort Myers 10-1, Royal Lydham 10-1, and 12-1 bar.
For me, the way I see this race is Arizona is the sexy horse, and he's the one who could be a superstar. I'm not overly bowled over by anything else, but equally anything could happen because it's, you know, it's the Coventry, isn't it?
Market's going to be fascinating here because yeah. This is when the boys from Ballydoyle, this is their type of bet. This is where they'll know whether they've what they've got. There are some once race winners against them, which we'll get to. Me and Noel were talking just before the show, and I asked him, what do you think about the pecking order there? And Noel, you weren't over the moon with his sort of profile at home, were you?
No, I thought Monarch of Egypt was initially their Coventry horse, and he's obviously gotten injured, so Arizona kind of slipped in there. But look, he was very impressive last time, but I'm not massively keen on myself.
It's interesting that they've not, you know, just relied on him. They've got three others in there as well. I thought he was probably, he was pretty impressive last time. And Sunday Sovereign, my idea of a very hard horse to back in the Norfolk later on this week, and that could be a leading form line. It's just 9-4, isn't it? There are some interesting ones against him.
I can't imagine you're keen to lump on Arizona.
No, I mean, I've just written the piece in the favourites to focus on for the website and the paper tomorrow. And just
got an X next to his name.
Yeah, got an X next to his name. But I mean, you have to, you know. I mean, he's obviously a massively promising horse. The stable's got a great record in the race, won 3 of the last 8, and he's a really expensive purchase, massively impressive last time out. But it's price, isn't it? I mean, you look at a race and you think, well, this horse is 5-2. He's got 16 potentially smart, unexposed horses that we've got no idea how good they could be. You want to take 5-2? Not me. I much prefer back Monoski for Mark Johnston, who absolutely hacked up at Pontefract last time over 6 furlongs, stepped up in trip, looked a massive improver for the extra distance. And what I like about that form is that he's actually at Pontefract. Now, one of the things that sometimes doesn't get mentioned is the fact that Ascot is one of the stiffest 6 furlongs in the country, and one of the only tracks that is stiffer than Ascot around the bend is Pontefract. And this horse was never stronger than at the finish. He was really coming on well. He's got an American pedigree, and we all know American pedigrees seem to go really well on that straight track at Ascot. And he is the kind of price where I'm happy to take a chance at 12s.
Yeah, I like the sound of that very much. So, Dave, just consolidate who your main fancy would be.
Well, Threat, I know who Niall fancies, and you'll get to him in a minute. I think Hannon's like him a lot. I'm just wondering whether he was a tiny bit flattered by that race at Newmarket, but seemingly the sectionals were very good. Gildsman, we should mention, for Archie Watson, who has had an outstanding year with his two-year-old so far. Oshie Murphy on. This is probably the best of them so far. We should say that most have been winning on the all-weather. The strike rate is incredible. But this was only the other day, wasn't it, G-Rodden? The money for this beforehand, he had a terrible draw, and yet he could have been called the winner after the off.
It was Friday night, wasn't it, at Goodwood? Yeah. The only thing that gets me is that Archie Watson, he does this thing where he takes them down for barrier trials.
Yeah, he does.
They're usually very, very clued up first time out, and they know their job, and they usually come out the stalls like a lightning bolt. This one completely fell out the stalls. It dwelt and missed a break, and it was a hell of a performance to come through and win as easily as he did, really flying at the finish. My only worry is, I don't know whether he had had a barrier trial or not before, my only worry is that why did he dwell? Some trainers, you go, oh, well, you know, I can see why that's happened because the trainer never has them wound up first time out. Now, Archie Watson always has them well clued up first time out. Now, why was this horse slowly away when every one of Archie Watson's other horses, is fast away? That's the only nagging doubt in my head. Yeah, will it be slowly away again?
I can't remember the name of the filly who completely fluffed the start at Leicester when it was fancied a couple of weeks ago. and it was an Archie Watson horse. And I remember being on Sky that day, and we were talking about how he does these barrier trials, and this thing was strongly fancied, and it absolutely walked out. It has actually since shown itself to be a bit of a thinker.
Right.
It now wears a visor, so interesting.
Maybe that's a possible angle, yeah. Niall, I think this would be sort of a no race, just a watch for me, but I'm quite interested in Maxi Boyer. Just tell us more about why you're fancying Threat.
I was really taken by the performance when I was watching it visually. It was only kind of when I looked at the sections that I started to get a bit excited, and I backed him myself. He obviously beat a horse called Electrical Storm, who's actually an exciting prospect himself. So Threat, the overall time was quite good. So the last three furlongs of the closing sectional looked pretty exceptional to me. It was actually the fastest closing sectional recorded on the Rowley Mile Newmarket track this year, which is very impressive considering he's a two-year-old debutant. Like, you're comparing that to horses like Mab's Cross and other top-class sprinters. So it's really impressive. The third and the fourth from the race have both come out and run really well. Like, the fourth was beaten 20-odd lengths and then was beaten ahead in a Goodwood Maiden next time. So it looks strong form to me. Richard Hannon said he's his best chance of the week, which I would have expected him to say. Like I said, I'm not overly keen on Arizona. Like, he obviously put up a decent time last time, but it was only marginally quicker than like a handicap one way 49 rated horse. The next race in the card, Gildsman, he's won that race on soft ground. If it had come up soft here, I would have been very keen on him because that was quite impressive. But yeah, it's definitely Threat for me.
Okay, so all taking on Arizona then. What about the 340, which is the King's Stand Stakes? We've got the 1-2-3 from last year, Batash heading the market from Blue Point, and Mab's Cross now.
We've an MBS in this race actually, so it's money back if Batash wins the race, and he's our 2-1 favourite. Blue Point is 11-4, Mab's Cross is 13-2, Sergei Prokofiev is 8-1, Imprimi is 10-1, and 16-1 bar.
Yeah, personally, I think Batash is a bit of a funny one, isn't he? And I wouldn't be surprised if Blue Point won again. What do you think? I think at the prices.
Batash, all in.
All in?
Yeah.
Confident.
I was so impressed with him in the Temple Stakes. He can be a bit of a, what you call an oxo horse, win, strike out.
Yeah.
But on his day, they just cannot go with this chap. Mm. Now that he's had that wind up, and I know that they're purring about him at home, they were before he ran.
Do you worry about the occasion and him going off like a scolding
not anymore.
Cat like last
not
year?
Not anymore. I think he's turned a corner. I hope he's turned a corner. I mean, I can understand why the public don't like him that much because, you know, he hasn't gone into the stalls, for example. If you remember the Temple Stakes last year, when he just got over the line, became the first horse in a long time to defy a top-level penalty in that, beating Mab's Cross again. He beat Mab's Cross in the race last year, so he will do that again. I'm just not a massive Blue Point fan. I think this was his one win of the year last year. Everything went right for him. William Boot could not believe how hard they went up front. If he can just hold on to him a little bit longer, Jim, it's not Jim's fault that he went to. Oh, the horse just took him there.
Yeah.
This wins. This just absolutely wins.
Nice. What do you think of that?
I think that Batash is a very, very, very good sprinter at fast 5-furlong tracks.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced about him over a stiff 5.
I'm with you.
And that is my worry. Don't get me wrong, I take all of Dave's points and I agree with them. I think he is the fastest sprinter in Britain, the most talented sprinter in Britain, and certainly the most talented horse in this race. And if Jim Crowley can hold on to him and keep him under
that
wraps
is the key, isn't it?
Long enough, he will win. But I am not convinced he will here. And I can see what happened last year happening all over again.
Yeah, so can I.
I can see him going too hard and getting run down in the closing stages by probably Blue Point. I don't like Blue Point, a bit like Dave.
Yeah.
He's got great Ascot form again.
Maidan form is not good enough to win this. It's
no. But I just don't see anything else being good enough to beat Batash.
That's
for me, it is a two-horse race between Batash and Blue Point.
Yeah.
And I, at the prices, I just prefer Blue Point because I know he goes at this track. I know he will be coming home strongly. And I'm not convinced Batash will be. Batash last year traded at 1.21 in running. It may well be that the wind operation has done the trick or whatever. And I can certainly see that argument. And if he is at his best, he'll definitely win. But I would rather back Blue Point on the course form.
Yep. Stall one for Blue Point. It's a nightmare winning from the wing on the straight track at Ascot, yeah.
That's a note of caution then to try and put me and G-Rod off. I'm in the Blue Point camp. I'm quite interested in Imprimis, who beat Bound for Nowhere last time. The American horse at Bound for Nowhere showed pretty good form at this meeting in the past. I think he finished third in the Commonwealth Cup behind Caravaggio and then third in the Diamond Jubilee last year when not getting the rub of the green, so he could figure, but he's probably going to have to improve to beat the top two. What do you think, Niall?
I'm going to agree with a lot of what Graham said. Yeah, Batash, look, he deserves to be favourite, but you have to have some concerns about him on the track. He obviously went too hard last year. They're saying they're going to ride him differently. Like, they're mentioning trying to miss the break, which I don't know.
Odd thing to say about a sprinter, isn't it?
Yeah, to be taking a short price about him. Like, I think towards the end of the last race, I think both Mabs Cross and Blue Point were quite a bit faster to him in the closing sectional, so he was obviously slowing down. I don't think the stiff finish suits him. He's obviously nearly unbeatable at tracks like Goodwood and Haydock, but just at Ascot here, I think he's worth taking on. Just another interesting thing about his sire, Dark Angel, at Royal Ascot. I think since 2013, he's had 44 runners on Good Ground or better and has never had a winner. Now, a lot of them have run okay, but it's definitely a worry. I think 44% of them have run to form, so that's not overly high either. I was kind of toying with putting up Blue Point, but what Dave said about the draw, I'm not overly keen on him, to be honest, either. And he's just not a horse I've ever bought into, despite his Ascot form. So I'm just going to put up one at a price here in Soldier's Call, who obviously won at the meeting last year. He won the Windsor Castle. He obviously ran really well in France as a two-year-old in the Abbey. He ran well under a penalty at York last time, so I'm hoping he'll come on plenty for that run. And yeah, he's the one I'm going to chance at 16-1 each way.
Yeah, there could be a pace collapse maybe. But interesting that this race has divided us. I'm sure it's divided many people. You're very firmly in the Batash camp.
Batash on the stand side, Blue Point right over on the far side. James Doyle's going to have a nightmare to try and get on his back. Mm. It's all about what can lead Batash. If something does, it'll make Jim's journey a lot easier. Maybe Soldier's Call might be the one to try.
Okay, let's take a quick break now before we get stuck into the rest of the Ascot card.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this final instalment of the Monday Postcast. We're halfway through Ascot's card tomorrow. The St James's Palace Stakes is our next port of call, a Group 1 for the three-year-old colts. The round mile, of course, this one. Let's run through the betting now.
So Phoenix of Spain is our 13-8 favourite. Two Darn Hot is 9-4. King of Comedy 5-1. Circus Maximus 10-1. Shaman is 10-1. Scardew 10-1 and 20-1 Bar.
Yeah, now I've got a bit of a funny approach with this one. I just can't really figure out what's going on with the three-year-old colts myself. So I'm just going to side with King of Comedy because he's not raced against them yet and he could be better than them. He could be worse than them, who knows. But I really like the prep, that Heron Stakes. That's the same route Without Parole took last year. Kingman Colt could be a bit special, so I think he'd be the one for me. But what do you think of this saga between Phoenix of Spain, Two Darn Hot? We've got the Irish 2000 Guineas for Scardew in there as well, Dave.
Yeah, Scardew probably looking like that third at Newmarket is probably him, I think. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Guineas form has taken some knocks, but Mahmoon didn't harm it, did he?
Certainly didn't.
In the Derby. It was a funny race. No Magna Grecia, of course, we should say that. Mm. Circus Maximus has been, supplemented. Now his first-time blinkers, Ryan Moron. So he'll do for many because of their record in the race.
Yeah, he's quite interesting. Do you think they're going to make the running?
Possibly. He's in stall one, isn't he? So they're not going to want to get him covered up, are they? That's interesting.
He's a very strong stay. He seems a bit of a lazy horse, didn't he, at Chester when he won, certainly.
That's a fascinating aspect if you're on Phoenix of Spain, because, of course, he made all at the Curragh. Mm. Maybe that's the way that they should have been riding him last year. He was a bit unlucky not to beat Magna Grecia, wasn't he, at Doncaster?
Yeah.
You know, that was that Stewards Inquiry. I know loads of big punters that were on him and screaming about that decision not being reversed. He's in seven. So Spencer's going to have to be alive to that. He's going to have to come right across, isn't he? The Ballydoyle boys will know exactly what they're doing. It's a good shout.
So who's your fancy then?
Do you know what? I think that Two Darn Hot might just pull it off. When I saw much will depend for me from a bet point of view on how the market's playing. And I've got the luxury that I'm going to be at the track tomorrow and I'm going to see these boys. So I think of all the races tomorrow, away from the two-year-olds, this is the key one for the paddock. King of Comedy can get a little bit worked up, but he's obviously a very talented horse, I think. Maybe a bit short for me on what he's done so far. He's in five. And Adam Kirby takes a ride, which is interesting, isn't it?
He rode him on debut to win.
He did, but if you remember, a couple of years ago, Gosden couldn't have Kirby on his mind, could he?
Yeah, but bully boy all weather riding at Royal Ascot, it's not right, you know.
Exactly, and yet he has given him a few chances recently, so all is forgiven there. And this is a massive moment for Kirby, who is no stranger to success at Royal Ascot, albeit mainly on the sprint track. But whether he can really...
It'd be interesting to see whether he has the potential to step forward up to this level, wouldn't it?
I thought Two Darn Hot saw plenty of daylight from stall 11 at the Curragh. That was my take on it. And it was a very good run considering it came 9 days.
Horrible prep, hasn't he?
And as Gosden has come out and say, the worst managed horse of the year, which for the genius that he is a massive statement, really. And maybe he's playing things under a little bit there. But when I saw stall two, Frankie's going to have loads of options. If you watch him back in the Dewhurst and racing that last year, when he got that cover and then he just unleashed... The thing is he just a cracking two-year-old?
Mm.
Tomorrow we will find out.
Yeah, I'm a big Dottori fan at Ascot. I think he rides so many of them to sleep, especially on that round course. We see it with... Didn't Galileo Gold win this race a couple of years ago? And he was nowhere near the best horse in the race, and Dottori just absolutely schooled them. G-Rod, whose corner are you in?
Yes. I really like this race from a punting perspective because I think the prices are all wrong. Phoenix of Spain has got the best three-year-old form in the race, courtesy of that run at the Curragh last time, but he had everything went his way. I mean, Spencer was flying high in confidence and he got a nice lead. You know, he was able to lead them the whole way. Things couldn't have dropped any better. He won the race well, don't get me wrong. But I mean, he should, in my opinion, he is the wrong favourite. Too Darn Hot is absolutely different class to Phoenix of Spain on his best form. There's no doubt about it. And I am a huge King of Comedy fan like yourself at Sandown, but I can tell you, John Gosden does not get this sort of thing wrong. There is no way that Frankie would be riding Too Darn Hot if King of Comedy was going to win this race, and that's why I can't back King of Comedy. And with Frankie choosing Too Darn Hot, I am fairly certain that this horse is going to be right back to his best in this race. If you look back over the way that John Gosden's best horses in recent years have gone, particularly over this sort of trip, at this stage of the season, you would have been saying the same thing that you're saying about Too Darn Hot. A lot of people are saying about Too Darn Hot, he's not trained on blah, blah. You would have been saying the same thing at this stage of the season about Raven's Pass. You'd have been saying Raven's Pass, beaten in the Craven Stakes, by I think twice over, was it?
Boring line.
And then the horse went and got beat. In the Guineas, he finished fourth in the Guineas. Then he got beat by Henry the Navigator in this race. And then all of a sudden, Raven's Pass just turned into a different horse. He suddenly just took off.
Was it Sussex Stakes?
He got right back to his best. Yeah. He won the Sussex. Then he went on to win the race at Ascot in September or October, whenever it is. Then he won the Breeders' Cup.
That was amazing.
And he was a top class two-year-old, just like Too Darn Hot. He'd won the Solario easily. But it looked as though he hadn't trained on. It looked as though his three-year-old career was going to go backwards with a couple of poor early runs, and then John Gosden just turned it all around. The horse became top class.
Roaring Lion. It's not like he's been finishing last, is it, either?
No, Roaring Lion, last year. You'd have been saying exactly the same thing. Got turned over in the Craven Stakes, I think it was. Then he won the Dante, then he ran third in the Derby, and then all of a sudden the horse just suddenly became virtually unbeatable. He won virtually every race going. There's a pattern emerging about John Gosden trained three-year-olds that have been top-class two-year-olds that it just takes them a couple of races to get to their best.
And he has a bad record in our Guineas, doesn't he?
I think this is what's
happening. Train him too hard earlier.
He just doesn't, no. And I think that's what we've seen here. And he has already said himself that he thinks he's messed it up and he could have done better. And this horse has obviously had a setback, which none of those horses had. So if you consider this horse had a setback as well, which Roaring Lion and Raven's Pass didn't have, and they were still disappointed at the start, this horse has actually got an excuse for why it's been running so poorly. I think we are going to see the real Too Darn Hot. I think not only will he win, I think he'll go off 11-8 favourite, somewhere in that region, and I think he'll win easily. I think he'll win by 3 or 4 lengths.
Later on in the season, could you see him...
His two-year-old form was head and shoulders above everything else.
Well, he was the next Frankel, wasn't he?
I mean, he was the absolute superstar two-year-old. And, you know, if he comes back to that sort of level, he's going to be different class to this lot. And he could go on to win multiple Group 1s in time. I'll be massively disappointed if Too Darn Hot doesn't win. And I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win by a space.
Okay, really interesting then. Now, G-Rod said his piece on Too Darn Hot. Who's your fancy for the race?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Graham said there. I'm really struggling to believe that Phoenix of Spain, when it occurred, I just don't think he's as good as he looked that day. Just a theory that I heard, that there was basically a very strong tailwind that day, and 6 of the 7 winners in the card were ridden very prominently, with 4 making all very impressively. I just think there might have been a slight pace bias. Now, it's hard to really prove it, but I just think when they got loose in the front, it's kind of hard to peg them back. They just seem to keep going. Charlie Hill's horses that day were also running out their skin. I think Batash won the same day, didn't he? So, yeah, like I'm going to be back in too darn hot here. I thought he ran perfectly well. I couldn't believe when I seen John Gosling said he had a flu jab 5 days before that, having ran in the Dante 10 days previous to that. It's an absolutely horrible prep, and he still ran so well. I trust John Gosling here. Like Girod was saying, I could never back King of Comedy as second string here. I'd imagine Too Darn Hot kicks him out of the way at home. Despite King of Comedy, like he was quite impressive on the clock that day at Sandown, but I think he was playing up at the start, and there's a good chance he might boil over here again. Another negative about him, another negative about Phoenix of Spain, he's by Lope de Vega. His stats at Royal Ascot are pretty terrible as well. I think he's 0-9 on ground good or better with a really low run to form. So I think a lot of them just enjoy a little bit of cut. I know he's won a good deferment before, but at the prices, I'd be taking him on. Too Darn Hot is by Dubowie, who's obviously probably the best Royal Ascot sire. And yeah, look, I think he's going to return to form here, and he's the one for me. I think he'll go off favourite too.
Okay. The 5 o'clock is the Ascot Stakes, a race that Jumps fans are going to be familiar with. It's going to be dominated by the likes of Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins. Niall, Mengli Khan's a really interesting one, and he's come for money recent.
Yeah, we're actually paying sixth place in this race, and Mengli Khan, he's our 4-1 favourite. Build Me Up Buttercup is 4-1, Coeur de Lion 7-1, Snow Falcon 8-1, Bats Rock 9-1, Arctic Fire 12-1, Ulster 12-1, Fun Mac 12-1, and 14-1 Bar.
Thanks, Niall. We'll stick with you for your selection.
Yeah, this is obviously tricky. The thing to do in these races is just stick with the Willie Mullins horse, and he only has one here. So Build Me Up Buttercup is going to be the one for me. Now, she started well over hurdles. She won her first race, but then she lost her way. Not sure what went wrong, but I see they've stuck a tongue tie on. I wouldn't be shocked if she had a wind up at some point. It's obviously not declared anywhere. But yeah, look, she's won a bumper at the track when trained by Mick Shannon, which is obviously a benefit as well. And she ran to about 95 or 96 when she was fourth in a listed fillies race at Goodwood when trained by Mick as well. So she's off 91 here. Willie Mullins, I'd expect to improve plenty. Like I said, she could easily have £10 or more in hand. Mengli Khan, but you kind of have to think that when you see Willie's record in this type of race. Like it's his only runner. Mengli Khan wouldn't be the type of horse I'd be back in this type of race. Just big kind of awkward type.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just not a fan of him. So yeah, Build Me Up Buttercup for me.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiments on Mengli Khan. I just think, especially with the way his season went, he probably needs a break now for me. But he could well bolt up. Dave, who do you fancy?
The last predominantly flat trained horse to win this was Just a Moment for Jane Chappell Higham. It's all been Jumps trainers, isn't it, since then. 1, 2, 3, 5 he had last year, Mullins, and the fact he's only got one in the race tells you exactly what this has got in hand, and the fact that Niall's already pretty much summed up what I think about this horse. There is an argument to say that 4-1 might look a pretty good price, because you want to be drawn high in this race historically. It's because they go really rough on the inside. And you think, in contrast to races like the Chester Cup, we have to be drawn low. This is one where you want to avoid all the early skimmaging. If you think about it, there's a really long run into that turn, and the horses on the outside tend to get the position.
Ryan Moore can just send her to sleep, can't he?
This is the sort of race that he excels in as well. 4-1, I don't want to be boring the tip of favour, but I think she's going to take a lot of beating. And of course, she's got that course form. However, on Jumps form, there's a horse in here that should be favourite, and it's Snow Falcon. He's got a top Racing Post rating over fences of 160. He's 104 on the flat. He's high enough in the weights, he's second, but he's got a lovely draw. Colin Keane will bide his time, and he's a very, very talented horse. The problem with him has often been jumping. So I can just see him going really, really well. I think if you were looking for an alternative, get 8-10-1, that's all right.
Yeah, she could well win G-Rod, but for me at that price, I just could not back Build Me Up Buttercup.
Well, I'm obviously doing a few pages today, and every time I look at this race, I just look at Build Me Up Buttercup, and I just keep singing it in my head. That's all I keep thinking. Every time I look at it,
I'm
just
a song,
Build Me Up Buttercup, babe.
He's got two kids, can't he? What must he sing at home?
That's all that keeps going through my head. This song, and I'm sure Dave's going to be singing it if Build Me Up Buttercup.
And now
comes in.
Good song. Come on.
At 5 o'clock, Scott.
Yeah, jumping off the stage.
Certainly, there's been a few people that have been telling me that if Build Me Up Buttercup wins, they'll be singing it from
renditions,
the top of the
stands.
Which would be great, obviously. But this is historically quite a tough race for me, because I always tend to stick with the British form, because that's what I know best. And obviously, as Dave has already said, the last horse to win this race, British, was Just a Moment I did back that one, Jane Chapel Higham, and I really felt like I should have got paid out on Jubawi 50 last year. I mean, I know Jubawi 50 didn't win, but I mean, he beat all the other British horses out by a mile, and he was just followed in by...
Did you try and make all Sylvester D'Souza?
I think he did. Yeah.
Just wasn't fair, was it?
It's like a posse of Willie Mullins trained horses all surrounding him and coming to get him, and I was
He's back in mixed boy this year, then. He's the same colours, isn't he? He'll try and make all.
You know, so I know probably what's going to happen here is I'm going to back an English trainer, because, as I said, I've done this before a few times in recent years.
Which one?
I back a British trained horse and then Willie Mullins comes along and beats me. But at least he can't put five or six around me today, I suppose. I'm going to back Fun Mac for Huey Morrison, who is definitely well handicapped. And I thought ran quite an eye-catching race in the Chester Cup, finished fifth. Now, the horse is really well handicapped. He finished second in this race behind Willie Mullins trained Clondor Warrior. Surprise, surprise, Willie Mullins. And that was, I think, off a £7 higher mark, albeit 4 years ago. So it's quite a long time ago. But at least we know, you know, he acts on the track and he goes well at the course. He's definitely well handicapped. He's definitely
handicapped.
Yeah, the easier ground on the round course will suit him. And he is going to land on one of these big staying handicaps this season. And this will definitely have been the target, I'm sure, for Huey Morrison, who is a target sort of trainer, and he obviously knows that this horse likes this race, acts around the course and distance because he's been placed in the race before, as I've said. And that race at Chester in the Chester Cup, I just thought it smacked of a prep run for this race. And I think he has been laid out for the race by Huey Morrison, and I think he'll run really well. But I can almost guarantee you that one of the Irish jumps trainers will come and beat me, because that is what usually happens here. But I am going to persist with my approach and stick with the British train Fun Mac.
Okay, nicely done. The final race is at 5:35. It is the Wolverton Stakes listed race, now over a mile and two. LR Cam, the favourite for this after winning the Festival Stakes last time, Niall.
Yeah, we're an extra place in this race again, so I think that's 4 or 5-4 on the day, which is plenty. LR Cam is our 4-1 favourite. Magic Wand is 4-1. Adabe is 5-1. Latrobe 7-1. Star of Bengal 8-1. Riven Light 10-1 or 9-1 and 10-1 bar.
I quite fancy a few crazy ones here. Nothing strongly, but I think Riven Light and Mountain Angel are the two that could run quite well at biggish prices. G Rob, we'll go to you first. What do you think? Who do you fancy?
Well, I obviously like Elakam because, as I said earlier, I do like that form, you know, the Zabil Prince form at Newmarket that day. And he was fourth in that. And, you know, he has had two Group 1 winners finishing just ahead of him that day. And, you know, this, I think, is a listed race, is it? Albeit a strong listed race, you know. But, I mean, that is Group 1 form. But generally speaking, you know, I couldn't be having him as at the price as favourite here, although he's got obvious chance. I thought this one might go to the Irish as well. And I made it between Latrobe and Magic Wand. I came down on Latrobe, who's a bigger price. Magic One's obviously got the course form, but I just have a feeling she wants really quick ground to be at her best.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that ground on the soft side of good will really suit Magic Wand. I think Latrobe will be okay on it, even though his best form is on quick ground. He obviously stays very well. You know, I mean, he ran in the Irish St. Ledger. He won
Irish
the
Derby
Irish
winning.
Derby. Yeah. You know, so he stays a mile and a half. So I think a mile and two furlongs on slow ground will actually suit him, because it'll bring his stamina into play at the distance. And he's obviously got Group 1 form in a listed race. You know, I mean, we're talking about an Irish Derby winner coming into a listed race. I think he also finished second over in Australia over this trip during their spring carnival, so that was a decent effort. So he has got form at the distance. And at the prices, I thought Latrobe, you know, bringing the Group 1 form in, was the one to be on, but it's not one of my stronger fancies of the day.
Yeah, I can see that price being absolutely smashed, that 7-1, don't you? I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go
in. He's the classiest horse in the race, isn't he?
Yes. Okay, so when this was a handicap, I remember running some stats a couple of years ago. You had to be low, basically.
Okay.
And
bad news for the likes of Adabe Magic Wand, then.
If you remember the race last year, I was on Earl Arabe, who ran second to Poet's Word at Sandown. I knew that Owen Burrows was happy with him. I absolutely laid into him. He was drawn 16 of 17 or something crazy. And Jim Crowley just could not get into the race from that wide. You had to be handy. LR Cam has got all those things in his favour. So the bookies are obviously respecting that. And he came good again finally last time out. I like this horse, but maybe not for the reasons that you think. I've had a right touch taking him on over the couple of years. So he's been a friend to me on that front, from a laying perspective. I think that, you know, Jim Crowley, who again gets to atone for that a disappointment, he'll be up there, won't he, from stall three. However, that's surely going to be the case with La Trobe as well. And as Graham says, he's got the class in the bank, and I'm pretty sure this would have been the big target. They won't have expected him to beat the likes of Magical last time. And, you know, the O'Brien siblings are both trying to get off the mark at this festival. Mm. And I think this will be the one to do it. And I can see it being an absolute monster gamble. Magic Wand is a filly that I really like, I should say. She's been to every dance. She never really lets anyone down. The problem with her... Yeah, absolutely. And she just... every time she goes to the States, it rains. And she goes to, you know, Maidan, and the ground isn't quite right for her. She needs rock-hard ground to be at her very best. And unfortunately for her, it looks about 4 o'clock tomorrow, a lot of heavens are going to open. Yeah,
that's I love this. You're knocking on the ground and you're also checking all the
apps. I've got it all. I'll do tic-tac in a minute.
Around about 4 o'clock, so halfway through the racing, there's meant to be like a little shower of like 3 or 4 mils of rain. You
and
know,
I've seen the draw and they will be crying because they would have really strongly fancied it. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Noel, do you see there being this gamble on La Trobe that we're all talking about?
Yeah, I was between two, and La Trobe was one of them, so I could see him going off shorter. I have backed him, but the other one I backed, it was a bigger price, Star of Bengal for John Gosden. I'm not really sure this is the strongest race. This one's only won a handicap of 101 at Chelmsford. It was actually a very good time. I think it was the third fastest 10 furlongs recorded at Chelmsford this year, faster than the likes of Medellin when she won there. Yeah, this one, she's related to... he's related to Star of Seville, who's the horse I mentioned earlier, and it's yes. Why that horse is in my head. And King of Comedy, who obviously runs in the St. James's Palace. So he's bred to be very good. He's unpenalised. Like the likes of Alarcam has a penalty here. He's not a straightforward horse. He's not one to rely on. If he'd taken him on, Magic Wand has been disappointing on occasions. So I wouldn't be too sure about Hor. Ade probably wants it softer. La Trobe, like I said, is potentially a bet. But Star of Bengal's the other one for me. So back in both of them.
Yeah, I think, guys, you're making me sort of fancy La Trobe a bit more, but my initial approach was looking at something a bit further down in the market. Probably a no-bet race for me. But it's crunch time now. Let's get your naps for day one of Royal Ascot.
This will not be beaten.
I'm excited for this one. Graham Rodway, who is the money going on?
Too darn hot. We'll win. 4:20, St James's Palace.
Nice and easy.
Barney Roy in the first race. I know my fate early.
Okay, and Niall?
The 305 Coventry Stakes, Tret.
And I'm going to go for Blue Point in the 340, the King's Stand. That's all we've got time for today. Thanks for joining us. As always, please rate, review and subscribe. So Lee, DJ, Tom Siegel and Binners will be at Royal Ascot tomorrow. They'll be getting a look at the Wednesday cards night and early for you, so make sure you stay tuned to that. And we've got all our feature videos up on YouTube and on racingpost.com. So make sure you stay tuned for all of the best coverage of the Royal Meeting. We'll see you soon.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.